Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, yes, Pastor Butch Paul, we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, September 30th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Say goodbye to September.
Yep, say goodbye, heading into the next quarter. So already the Wall Street's complaining about, you know, earnings is not going to be all that hot, and it probably won't be with what we've seen and the strength of the dollar. But we're going to talk a little bit about the strength of the dollar here in just a little bit. But I do just want to tell the listeners that Butch, I want to thank him for filling in for Dave today. He had a little bit of a slide back from his surgery, and everything's fine. But and we'll see how he goes for the rest of the week. But so thanks, Butch, for filling
in,
and make sure we all keep Dave in our thoughts and our prayers. So
if you and the post can handle me, I'll be here.
Okay. Now there's something else we need to keep in our thoughts and prayers. And that's the gold prices. They took a tumble today. You know, not a rumble. I guess maybe a rumble, but they rumbled as it tumbled, and but actually, it has recovered somewhat. And I'm not quite sure what the obviously it was. I'll guarantee you here in the next couple of days we'll find out that there was some big off market trade, private trade being done, something, because you have gold down $22 today at $1,474, but really the low was down like $32. $1,463 was the low, and a high as we started out. You know, it was, you know, all over the page today, but it markets opened up, it tanked, and it tried to come back. But Butch, have you heard me say on this program prices will go up, and the say that it's going to stay over 1500? We'd like it to. All the fundamentals were there for it to stay there, but you get some profit sharing, you get some profit taking, and you get some manipulation in there, and the strength of the dollar, and it was just a little too much pressure.
It's still 200 above what was a few months ago.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is, and even silver. You know, silver is still up $2 over what it was a couple months ago, 1710.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we had the same kind of a day in silver. We had a low of 1681. It came back 1710, down 50 cents. Platinum was the one that they hit hard, 5%, 887 for platinum. Palladium down 6 at 1681, and it really could have been the platinum market, because again, these markets, when you have one go down so significantly, the others will follow. You know, it's just like anything else. You have a sector that goes down, and it just pulls the whole thing down. And I think we did see a little of that in today. Why platinum was hit as hard as it was remains to be seen. But let's see what the dollar did today. The dollar was up 0.26 at 99.39. I mean, so that's been up. I mean, heck, just a month or so ago, it was 97, and now we're 99. So, yes, that's going to put some pressure, 99.39 for the USDX. Crude oil was down 1.71 at 54.20. So all of these markets are just really all over the page. And Twaria 1 makes any sense whatsoever. And the paper markets today, you know, they were up triple digits, pretty much stayed there all day, although now there's beginning to have, you know, the rally and the stocks are beginning to fizzle out. But the Dow was still up 26 points at 26,916. The NASDAQ was right on that 8,7999.34. Can't get any closer than that. Well, I guess you can, but 59.71 to the upside. The S&P was up almost 15 points, 22,976. 10-year yield, 1.68. European markets were quiet. You know, I guess everyone is just so, I don't know if everyone is. I'm not. I don't know if you are, but I'm not paying any attention to all of this impeachment talk. I don't even know what to say about it.
Well, you know, it may be worth mentioning a couple of things, just simply because this is my thought, and of course my thought is not worth any more than anybody else's, but I do believe that this is going on simply because they're going to keep people's mind off something else. I don't know why it is. I know it's all political, but Trump put out a word in a tweet that he heard a preacher say that if he is impeached, there's probably going to be a civil war. And I don't disagree. If that does happen, the pot has been boiling on the stove for a long time with no outlets. And people are really getting kind of frustrated for a lot of different reasons. And we're seeing a kickback now on all kinds of things, from drag queens and going to libraries, and people now protesting against it in the streets, what they should. But we're seeing the frustrations grow. And we know that the so-called whistleblower, whoever he or she is afraid for their lives, and they want protection. You know, Mel, this may come off the wall as not making a whole lot of sense, but we couldn't even protect Epstein in jail. How are we going to protect a whistleblower out in public?
They didn't protect Snowden, did they? They didn't protect...
No, they didn't.
You know, and he was classified as a whistleblower, wasn't he? And
yes, he
they
was.
Didn't. They didn't. And Valerie Plame however, you know, I mean, they released her information. There wasn't anything secret about, you know, what they did to her and her family and so forth. So, you know, we talk about double standards, and we say, well, you know, let's look back, and they did the same thing, and now we're doing it. You know what, Butch? This country is nothing but a bunch of bullies and babies. I'm so sick and tired of people calling others names, whiners, and on both sides. Both sides.
Representative from Illinois, Republican Senator representative from Illinois named Kitzinger was really outraged that Trump said that, and Trump just repeated something a preacher said. And I don't disagree, Melody. I would pray that I'm totally wrong. But this nation is going to explode, I do believe, one day soon in some things that we don't want to even think about. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. But the fracture between the factions is getting worse. The agitation is growing on both sides, especially, we'll say, on the conservative side. People getting kind of angry at being pushed around. And who knows what's really going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing because of this impeachment fiasco. Do I think they're going to be impeached? I doubt it. Do I think they're going to drag it on at least until next year and then maybe until election? Yes, I do. And there's a good reason for that. They want to get our attention off of other things and on that. And perhaps they really want to defeat Trump in the next election. They really want to the point to do anything they have to. I don't know. But this man, if what I read and heard said by even Joe Biden admitted on camera that he told the president of Ukraine back in 2017, I think 2016, that he would not give him over $1 billion in aid if he didn't get rid of the prosecuting attorney that was giving his son a hard time. Now, this is on record, folks. This is on record. He's saying himself. And the president said, you don't have authority to do that. Only the president does. He said, well, you call the president, Obama, and ask him whether it's going to happen or not. And he said, unless you get rid of this man, you will not get to one point something billion in aid. And within 6 hours, he said, I'll give you a 6-hour time span and get it done. And it was done. Yet no one answered for that. That was definitely arm twisting to get something done. And nowhere did I hear Trump say we're going to withhold this aid if you don't do this. Now, I didn't say he didn't do it, but it wasn't on record in saying that. So there's a lot of things here that we know is bias, to say the least. But it is, I think, a lot of smoke and mirrors for something else. I don't know what it is yet. Time will tell. But it is drawing a lot of people's attention. It's causing a lot of friction. And right now in this country, we don't need a lot more division. We don't. We need some unity pretty quick. We're being splintered off as many different groups now that literally are at the point of hating each other. That is scary, Melody. It is.
It really is. And I want to make a correction. I always do that if I said something wrong. And when this first, you know, exploded last week, I couldn't remember which son of Biden's had died. And it was Beau, not Hunter. So Hunter is still around. But you know what? He's a screw up from day one. I mean, he has a lot of issues. He had a lot of personal issues throughout his life. And so that doesn't make excuses, and I'm not making excuses for him. But I'm just saying, when you have a messed up life and you lead that type of a life, and then you go to work and get what, $50,000 a month? Yeah, you can probably bet that wasn't a real kosher job. But anyway, but yeah, and it is amazing, and it's just I don't know where it's going to end. Well, I think I do,
either.
But
I don't either.
I mean, I think I do.
Nothing I've seen in a long time in this country now, especially since Trump's been in office, has been a unifying factor for the country. Nothing.
No.
It's been more and more factions and more and more split, more and more friction between the groups and more anger, frustration. All this is building. I haven't seen any real comprehensive work to get the people together again on an issue. I haven't. It's just called. They just keep on agitating the people and spitting them in different directions to cause more friction. And we're seeing it. I hope it does erupt into bloodshed, but if it does, I'll be greatly surprised.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely we're heading down that road, and it's a sad road to go. And
it is.
You know.
It is.
Yep. So, but.
And being back to. I guess Bible, Dmitry Dudeman, I don't know if you ever heard him or not, but you can watch his prophecies on YouTube, was over here in the 80s prophesying to America and warned us America's going to go to civil war, and when we do, we'll be invaded from the outside by different forces.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing this starting to go in that direction. I don't know what else to say. Was he right? Time will tell, for sure. But if a nation is fighting among itself on the inside, it weakens the whole structure. So the enemies have a lot more ease of coming in and doing what they got to do because the people are fighting among themselves.
It's all part of the design, ladies and gentlemen. So,
yes,
you know,
when this
stuff breaks out, nobody focuses on what needs to be focused on. We get caught up in the disagreements and we forget what is really important. And the things that are really important, the things that have changed, they're still the same.
Yeah.
It's still the same. You know, when we talk about the Patriot Act, when we talk about the NDAA, when we talk about all the surveillance, when we talk about, you know, all of these other things, that it just doesn't seem to matter anymore. Where those aren't being changed. Those are just being extended in all administrations, including this one. I'd rather see us pull out of some of those than pull out of the, you know, the agreement on Iran. We could have, you know, maybe rewritten that one or negotiated a little bit better or something like that, or maybe pulled out of all of them. Who knows? But some of these ones that affect us, yeah, they needed to go too.
Well, America went from a nation that was one time not only feared in my lifetime, but respected, to more or less a laughingstock of the world and hated by most of the world. So the splintering inside this nation only gives our enemies more glee, if you will, to watch us disrupt and blow up the inside out. That's just what I see at this happening. So we will find out. I think they're in the future. If we make it through the election without a major uprising, that's going to be a good thing. But I don't know. We got still got over a year to go. We'll have to wait and see.
But you know what? It's you know, I guess they subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani,
yes.
And you know, he, you know, it's just such a circus. such a circus, but anyway.
No, we're laughing, but it's really sad.
It really is.
You know, to see a nation that once was so, we'll say, decent and morally straight, go into this kind of chaos. And of course, it's because they've forgotten God. Second Deuteronomy 28:28 says, "That's what I'll do. I'll smite with madness." And so that's what's happened to the country. And it affects the economy also. People got to understand this, that unrest in a civil sphere affects the financial sphere also. It has to. It can cause panic eventually in a lot of different ways. And that will affect finances. It truly will. And I guess you saw where the Fed's pumped another $63.5 billion into the financial system to keep it running. And I'm going to read this, and I want to get your comment on this. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York added $63.5 billion to the financial system Monday, using the market for repurchase agreements or repo to relieve funding pressure in money markets. Banks asked for $63.5 billion overnight reserves, all of which the Fed accepted, offering collateral in the form of U.S. Treasury and mortgage securities. In the repo market, borrowers seeking cash offer lenders collateral in the form of safe securities, frequently Treasury bonds, in exchange for a short-term loan. The term of these loans can be started as short as overnight. Melody, I know probably a stupid question, but the Treasury bonds are security? Those are fiat, too.
Mm-hmm.
How are they security?
Because they say it is.
I was going to say, because they say it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's it mean when you pump another $63.5 billion into the financial market? What's that mean for towards
they're
inflation?
Scheduled,
and go ahead.
But they're scheduled to be doing this until October 10th.
I know that,
and,
yes.
And we're talking about, you know, $500 trillion. Almost, or maybe even above. So, I mean, to me, this is big news, and very few people are talking about it. Dave did do an article for today's newsletter, and the title of that says the Fed says it's prepared for liquidity crunch, and time will tell how true that is. So. He's talking about the repurchase agreements, and so people, you need to go to the website, sign up under dgscoins.com, sign up for the weekly newsletter, and you can get this. I haven't completed my part yet, but it'll either go out later this evening or first thing tomorrow morning. So it's a great little article, and you know this is a big deal. And we're heading into this quarter.
It's break time already.
It's break time. We're heading into that too. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to these programs archived on a daily basis and, of course, also longer term. You know, we were talking about the repo market and heading into the break. And I think this is, you know, something that's going on behind the scenes. No one is talking about. Stock markets are holding, at least. The dollar is getting stronger. And, you know, to some degree, you know, the dollar does help the consumer out there because that makes your foreign goods a little bit cheaper as they come into this country. You'll be able to buy more. Of course, most of the Americans out there are buying it on debt. So, but the product will might cost them a little bit less. And but it's going to hurt the corporations. And my biggest question was, Butch, it was less than a month ago when we had President Trump saying that he wanted a weaker dollar.
Yep.
And but here we are. It's getting stronger, and no comment about the strength of the dollar. So, because the stock market hasn't corrected. And that's only said when the stock market pulls back. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody would.
It is hard to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and it just goes to show you what these markets are. Now, why would anybody want to be invested in these paper markets when nobody really knows what those fundamentals are anymore? It's computer trading. It's comments from the Federal Reserve. It's comments from the administration. Doesn't matter who. You know, Mnuchin can say something, President Trump can say something, you know, and the markets react. And trust me, there's a lot of insiders in there that, you know, they make their, you know, they place their bets, their trades based on, you know, who's going to say what and how it's going to affect the markets. The only ones that aren't privy to that information, Butch, is us. So, until it's
yep,
too, you know, until afterwards. But, so yeah, there's a, you know, there's, it's, I mean, it's just, there was a report today that I was reading where the, let's see if I can find it. Let's see if I can't find, but I can't find it here. But it was talking about the income for folks. According to the, and I'm not sure if we talked about this last week, but the according to, and I think we did, the Census Bureau figures that were released this month. As a recap, real American incomes remained essentially flat in 2018 after three straight years of growth. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Median household income was $63,000. So again, it's not all that good. Things are slowly turning around, but nobody wants to talk about it. Then you talk about the here was another article that I saw where 40 of the 50 states don't have enough money to pay all their bills. 40 states at the end of the fiscal year 2018, 40 of them didn't have enough money to pay all their bills.
Well, which one? Which 10 do? Do you know?
I'm
curious to know that.
I didn't see the list.
Okay, that'll be something worth finding out. I'd have to look for that and find out.
Yeah, and I don't even think. It says 40 states, the worst of which the worst states want more than $1.5 trillion in total debt. When each state's unfunded liabilities is divided by the number of each state's taxpayer, the truth is staggering. For example, each taxpayer in New Jersey, 50th on the list, owes $65,000 in order for the state to meet its promised obligations. Illinois is right behind, with each taxpayer liability calculated to $52,000. Only three states received A's for their fiscal condition. Another seven received B's. 13 received C's. 18 received D's, while the rest earned failing grades of F for their fiscal irresponsibility. Four of the five Sunshine States, Alaska, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Idaho, are enjoying surpluses, but all five are behaving responsibly with their surpluses. So there's there's four of them. So
that's amazing.
Kind of interesting.
Well,
yeah?
I'll have to look up and see which ones get B's. I mean, I think West Virginia actually come out with surpluses too a little bit, and I like that idea, but I don't know that. But it is sad though. And we know California and the Illinois and New Jersey, and New York, all of them are drowning in socialistic. Now I said socialistic debt. It is socialism, and they're drowning in debt. The only cure for socialism is taking from the people, and the people can't afford it any longer. Can you imagine if they would call the chips in on every citizen in this country for the national debt? How would they? No one could pay it. At least I couldn't. But 99% of them couldn't pay it. So what you do is print more money and make more debt and keep the wheel turning a little while longer.
Well, you know,
that's how it works.
Some of the real problem is it's just, you know, you can call it what you want. But you have these pension funds. This is what's killing a lot of these states. Mm-hmm. These unfunded retiree health care benefits. That's what's killing the bad investments. You know, and they promise the world to these retirement accounts. We could go back and look at Texas. What they promised the police force, the firemen's fund, and so forth. You know, they were investing in islands. They were investing in, you know, in all of these bizarre places. The investments didn't pan out. Obviously, no one's held accountable for these poor investments. And then all of a sudden, you have these retirement accounts that have to be adjusted. And it's just like everything else. You have all these big promises, and these big promises don't pan out. Bad investments.
Well, it was a Ponzi scheme from the beginning. It can't go on that way. It's like Social Security was. It will eventually topple. It has to. It has to. You can't fund everybody's retirement when so many millions are retiring, especially when you kill off almost 100 million unborn children that will take over the tax roll. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to collapse. It has to collapse. It is collapsing. And it isn't going to. It already is collapsing. You probably saw that Forever 21, of course, I would assume that's a fashion type of store, declared bankruptcy.
Yes.
You probably saw that.
Yes.
Another store chain, another brick and mortar store down the tube. Macy's closed its landmark downtown Seattle store. Macy's is around for how many years? Years, years, and years. But we're seeing thousands, not hundreds, thousands of brick-and-mortar stores closing their doors. And if people worked there for 20 years and 25 years, have retirement through the end, they're not going to be able to pay it. And the ones that are still working are out of work. Now, maybe that doesn't seem... Melody, we haven't lost our job, so to speak. So we'll say it's a recession. But now, when we lose a job, it turns for us a depression. If these people depend on these paychecks and they're going, depend on the health benefits and they're going, where are they going to go? To government again? Maybe that's why they want UBI. Maybe that's why they want Medicare for everybody. They're struggling. They're afraid. Maybe that's why they want socialism, Melody, because they think that free enterprise has failed them. Actually, it hadn't. It's just socialism and in the system is causing these problems. The people are desperate. They're turning wherever they can to find relief. And I can understand that, can't you?
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like the employer health benefits cost soared past $20,000 per worker this past year. $20,000 per worker the employer is paying, and of course the employee pays some of it too. And they say that's the price of a economy car, but it's paid every year. It's like buying a new car every year. It's amazing. $20,000 per employer. Poor employee. Add that up to millions of employees, and how much has been put out by the employer, and guess who pays for it in the long run? Would that be us?
Let me guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me guess.
There you go. Companies do not soak all this up and say, "Well, we'll just have to hand it." They increase their prices because they have to survive. They're not in business to break even or go in the hole. They're in business to make a profit. They pass the cost on to the consumer, which is you and I, and it costs us more just to live. If you and I were making in 1970 what we're making now in earnings, we would be considered pretty well off, wouldn't we? Is that a fair statement?
If what?
If you and I were making in 1970 an income, what we make today, considered pretty well off back in 1970.
Yep, we certainly would.
But now people that are making 3 or 4 or 5, 10 times as much as they were in 1970 are struggling to pay the bill just like they were in 1970. Don't they see what the problem is? It's not the amount of money you make, it's how much you get to keep. And we're just going further and further into inflation and losing more every day. Oh, it looks good on paper because we go out the credit card when we buy a new TV set, or we go borrow money from the bank. We borrow nothing from the bank. We just go in and sign a paper. They put digits in our account. We buy a new car. We pay them back out of earnings. But we're in debt. It looks like we're living better, but we're further in debt. It seems like people can't grasp this idea that we're no better off than we were 50 years ago financially. It may look like it, because we are running debt more freely than we were back then. Now, I don't know. Is that a fair statement? Am I making any sense?
You certainly are.
So, what are they going to fall back on when things bottom out? How are they going to keep their lifestyle up whenever the credit cards are no longer good to them? How are they going to keep everything moving, and how are they going to feed the family with the dollar further devalued? These are things people got to stop right now while they still can and ask themselves. What have they done to protect themselves against inflation? And if they say, well, I invested in the stock market, or I bought a 401k, folks, you lose money every day. In a 401k, you're losing money every day. That is not a hedge against a crash. It's on paper. It looks good, it smells good, but when the time comes to get it out there, when the dollar's gone, you have nothing but a piece of paper. I took a paycheck to bank one time, Melody, and it's a true story. I got a paycheck one time for 0.00. I made enough to meet my deductibles, and that was it. Now, I'm serious. I was in sales. I've been in sales 45 years. Took to the bank, showed to the head of the bank, said, will you cash that for me? He said, I certainly will. So, you know, but what was it worth? I mean, you know, I had a check in my hand. It's a piece of paper. It said 0.00. So I'll cash it for you. So I had a paycheck. It wasn't worth anything. And it's going to happen to the masses.
What kind of salesman were you?
Later. Not very good at the time. But there was a true story. I mean, that the time the mines were closing down right and left, and that's where most of my income come from. And they were shutting it down and going down, and things just got tough. But I hung in, and of course, the next paycheck went back up again. And I learned, though, over the years, I learned when I had an extra good paycheck to put some money back for the bad times. And isn't that what we're trying to get people to do now, to put something back for the hard times? Is that a good way to put it? Put back $100 a month, $200 a month, $500 a month in something tangible. Put it back for the hard times. And not paper, but real money. So I'll shut up. That's my tangent. I'll shut up now.
Well, we still have a couple of segments, another segment to go, so you don't shut.
But, you know, it's just amazing to me that people just don't grasp that idea. Maybe if they got a paycheck for 0.00 three, four times, and they hadn't prepared for it, they may understand what I'm trying to tell them. Because it's going to come that way one day on every paycheck, because when the dollar does finally go to, we'll say, basically nothing, and the 401ks and IRAs are worth nothing but what the paper they're printing or printed on, the bank will cash them, sure they will. But what are they going to be worth? Just a thought.
You know, here's an article out of, I guess it's the Daily Mail. And here are these British employees, they are deliberately sabotaging workplace robots over fears that the machines are going to take their jobs. And these manual workers, they found a way of stopping their rise, and they're using sabotage. And it found that UK workers, it was a study by De Montfort University, compared the UK's use of robots to Norway, and it found that the UK workers are particularly adverse to the introduction of these of intelligent machines into the workplace. So they're going to sabotage to keep their jobs. So I can't blame them. I don't know how long that would work. Once you get caught, you're going to get canned anyway. So.
Well, they're getting desperate. They're afraid.
Yeah.
They're afraid. They are.
Yeah.
And if you want something that's going to scare you, now this may or not come to fruition, but it looks like it might, is Hillary gearing up for a late stage do-over against corrupt human tornado Trump?
And this No.
That's what I said. I said based on bookies' bets and few recent actions, speculation once again starting to grow that Hillary Clinton may be about to enter a Democratic Party presidential nominee race. First, the repeatedly failed presidential candidate has a suddenly full media schedule this week, making appearances on CBS Morning, Stephen Colbert, and The View, among others. Secondly, at the Gateway Pundit notes in the interview with CBS Sunday Morning that is airing this weekend, Clinton said that things happened in 2016 will not happen again. I don't know. We will see. Time will tell.
And we're going to see. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And it was just one of those Mondays where the news is just, you know, it just wasn't very exciting news today, Butch. I mean, it was just so much.
It's a lot of it.
It's a lot of it, but you know what? No, there's a lot of noise, but there's very little news.
Well, you know, this article here, I think, is something people might want to see because nearly half of America's homeless people live in California. California, the golden state, Melody, the place where I want to go back in the 50s and 60s. Not only do nearly half of American homeless people live in California, but four of the five American cities with the greatest instance of unsheltered homelessness are in the golden state. As California becomes a mecca for socialism, you hear that, folks? The quality of life diminishes along with it in a characteristic dystopian decline. San Francisco, Los Angeles, Santa Rosa, and San Jose are four of the five cities with the highest amount of homelessness. Seattle joins the California municipalities in the top five. According to Market Watch, the rates of homelessness are higher in Washington, are the highest in Washington, D.C. Imagine that. The District of Columbia's homeless rate is 5.8 times the United States rate. New York is next, followed by Hawaii, Oregon, and California. These five states together comprise 20% of the overall U.S. population, but 45% of the country's homeless population. And folks, California, New York, and even Oregon are turning into totally socialistic societies, and it's getting worse every day. Instead of the whole nation going that direction, should we pay attention to these states and learn from these situations that socialism will destroy society? Just something to think about. And the other article goes along with that. It says, who wants to leave California? Just over half of California's registered voters have considered leaving the state, with soaring housing costs cited as the most common reason for wanting to move, according to a new poll. Young voters were especially likely to cite unaffordable housing as a reason for leaving, according to the latest UC Berkeley Institute of Government Studies poll conducted for the Los Angeles Times. A different group, conservatives, also frequently suggest they want to leave, and for a very different reason. They feel alienated from the state's political culture. Republicans and conservative voters were nearly three times as likely to have seriously considered moving as Democratic or liberal counterparts, 40% compared to 14%, the poll found. The conservative voters mentioned taxes and California's political climate as a reason for leaving more frequently than they cited housing. California is losing the liberals and the conservatives, Melody. They don't want to be there. They can't afford to live there, and they feel alienated there. Should I not warn the people that California, being, I guess, probably the largest state economy in the country, is failing because of socialism? Shouldn't I teach other states something?
Well, I don't know if you can blame it all on socialism, but I mean, it's certainly a big part of it, and I saw earlier today too. I mean, they're so far left. I guess California now is going to let college athletes sign endorsement deals. So that's all been approved and everything signed off as legislation, I believe. They signed it today. So now these college athletes can hire agents. They can make money from endorsements. Soft drink makers, or just like the pros. This is the first in the nation law. It was signed by the Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom. It doesn't take effect until 2023, but I mean, it's just everything is just so out of kilter, just so out of balance, just so bizarre, and it's. I don't know if anybody else is amazed by it like I am. It's Butch, but it shocks me. It's and it's all moving so fast. It's all moving so quick.
Well, it is.
These are not,
quick.
And these are not healthy. And you know, you talked earlier in the program about how people are just so. Can you imagine what this will happen now to these college kids? And I don't know. That's.
Well, again, I don't know. I don't know, Melody, but I know that you and I have seen over the last several years in different direction people that will say are wanting to leave the country, you know, to live outside the country because they can live better than what they make in, outside the country with their retirements. And I'm just reading an article here today that apparently some of these expats, I guess you call them, are a little bit upset because they went to Mexico because it's cheaper to live there, but the Mexican banks are seizing their money. They had a rude awakening. They're not getting their money down there. So what does that tell you about where do you go? You try to escape to something better. You go to a nation that's at least corrupt, this country maybe more so, and the banks are seizing their bank accounts. They're seizing their savings accounts out of the bank. So it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
It doesn't matter where you go. I mean, I know a lot of people who are in Mexico and they live very comfortably. I mean, it certainly is it's not as expensive. And when you're on a special income, it's cheaper. It's just cheaper when you're on a fixed income. There's a lot of places around. You know, you can go down to Panama, and I mean, I'm tons of people. All these expats have left, but there's dangers also.
Yes, there is.
And it's you just have to be careful. And I've known people who enjoy very much living in other places of the world. They've been able to adapt. They've been able to fit in. And but the governments are all the same.
They are.
They're all the same.
They're all leeches. They are all leeches on the people. That's what they are.
Yeah.
You know, we need to quit kidding ourselves about that. They are leeches. I don't care who's in office. The government has to leech off the people. If you had a small government and a responsible government, that's wonderful. But they still are freeloaders in a sense that they must take our money to take care of what they need. It's not like they're producing anything.
I mean, you do need to have government. I agree with that. But, I mean, not the governments that we have today. And you're right. I mean, they're not. I mean, it's, you know, the Republicans used to stand by and want smaller government. And what have we gotten us? It just keeps growing and growing. We come deeper and deeper in debt. It doesn't matter who's in office. That's the direction we're going. Our economy, that is good, that has provided people with additional jobs. It's provided people, at least for the last 3 years, better wages. It's all based on debt. It's all based on government through debt. Throwing it out various types of stimulus to the economy. And now we're pumping in billions of dollars on a daily basis for who knows how long, supposedly October 12th. But I don't know why it would stop them. I may be able to calm them, that particular market by then. But So how great can things last when it's all based on debt.
Fraud.
It's a Ponzi scheme. So.
It is. It truly is. And if you want to know some more ways that people are getting more politically correct and their thoughts being controlled, New York City just banned calling people an illegal alien out of hate. Now, how they determine whether you didn't hate or not, I have no idea, but it's now against the law in New York City to threaten someone to call the immigration authorities or refer to them as an illegal alien when motivated by hate. Now, again, how do they determine what's hate? The restrictions, violations of which are punishable by fines of $250,000 per offense are outlined in 29-page directive released by City Hall's Commission on Human Rights. Alien, used in many laws to refer to a non-citizen person, is a term that may carry negative connotations and dehumanize immigrants, marking them as other, reads one passage for the memo. The use of certain language, including illegal alien and illegals, with the intent to demean, humiliate, or offend a person or persons constitutes discrimination. Okay, Millie, there you go. Another city that's going to stop people from thinking and speaking their minds. Well, that's called freedom of speech, right?
Mm. Although when I do think of alien, I do think of outer space. I don't think of it. You know, illegal immigrant is, you know, or immigrants or whatever, but...
But, you know, we're becoming so politically correct that people are either going to have to blow up and take a stand or going to have to keep backing into a corner and be careful what they even think, unless that's what they say. How long before they can read your thoughts and at least assume they do by the way you look or what you respond or whatever to anything without saying a word? It's getting really close to the time in this country that thought police are going to be in force, just like the show Minority Report. You know, it's coming
sure.
up very quickly.
Absolutely. Yes. You know what's interesting? When I do my errands, I listen once in a while, not often, but today I did. I was listening to the NPR radio station, and I listened to it for as long as I can stomach it. And it was interesting, though, because I see this as a conditioning of the people and how they, you know, with the gentle, calm voice, and they talk about various topics, and the one topic they were talking about, slavery of this country. And I mean, they had callers in, they were talking about the plantations in the South and what they, you know, thought, you know, the various tours. And there was one guy that actually called up and said he wanted to visit a plantation. It was in Georgia. I can't remember which the name of the plantation. And I guess there was an entry fee of, you know, $20 a car or something like that. And he says, "Well, I've already paid my dues." He says, "I've already paid my dues. We built the plantation." You know, so obviously, you know, his, you know, family must have been slaves or whatever. And he says they turned, you know, they. And I'm thinking to myself, do people really think this? And they do.
Oh, they do.
They do.
And they won't pay to be paid reparations for something that happened 150 years ago. I wonder why they don't bring up the history that many, many whites were indentured servants in this country when it was first settled, literally in slavery. The whites move here as indentured servants to pay off the debt to be here. That's slavery. But that's never mentioned. Why is that? Why are we ever looking at?
I mean, I understand, you know, the conditions and so forth, but I was just shocked. And
yes,
it's just
saying.
Like, I was just shocked. And then they went from slavery to guns. And again, in this guy's very soft, gentle manner. And I'll tell you what, the horrible conditions that these women went through, the domestic abuse, and they were all, and they had open lines for those who had gun violence towards them, and their stories were horrifying, and you know just who were these men who did what they did to their spouses and so forth. But my question was, why? I mean, these men who attempted to kill their spouses, they're going to kill their spouse where they have a gun, knife, or their hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they do. But, I mean, the biggest question is, why do we have this big of a problem with domestic abuse as we have in today's world?
It's because society has fallen apart morally. It's been going on for years. The family's been destroyed.
Yeah.
It is. And we're running out of time. Like I said, make one more comment on another topic we're running out here. You know, tomorrow is China's 70th year anniversary, right?
Yes, it is.
And the Chinese have doubled the communists, that's right. China's doubled its troop levels in Hong Kong. That's a fact. Now, this is in Reuters. And because they're afraid of violent attacks tomorrow as they celebrate their 70th year in communism. But they've doubled the troop forces. What that going to mean? I have no idea. We'll find out tomorrow. But if the people start rioting, you know, they said that they had 157 people arrested, and 67 were students, and that the 8 policemen were hurt. They were throwing firebombs, gas bombs, if you will. They were setting fires. and they expect it to be much worse tomorrow, the 70th anniversary of communism for Hong Kong, for China. We will see. I don't know what's going to happen, but they doubled the troop force, folks. I'm not making it up. They doubled the troop force. We'll see what happens. I don't look for China to tolerate a whole lot more of this, do you?
Well, I mean, they're certainly in the limelight, and, he's going to try to contain it as much as he can. But, so we'll have to see where that heads. I don't know where that's going. But,
well, we'll know tomorrow, I guess. Tomorrow's Tuesday, yeah. and that's what we'll know after tomorrow. You know, there's so many things happening on so many different fronts. It really is impossible to try to cover them all. It really is. Yeah, we do the best we can here on your program, Ellie, to try to cover many different topics and try to show the people what we've been trying to convince them for years, or you have for a long time, to take care of themselves and prepare themselves for what's coming. Don't trust man to do it for them. Jeremiah 17:5 puts a curse on that. You prepare your own family, folks, for what's coming the best way you know how. You listen to wise counsel, as I did many years ago. Boy, I miss Bob Chapman. But you listen to people like that and Melody when they try to explain things to you. And do what you can prepare. You know, I mean, people for years canned food to put up for the winter, to eat through the winter. I'm sure some people still do that, but the masses no longer do that, Melody, because they can go to Kroger's or Food Line, whatever, and get the groceries. They don't need to stock up anymore. That's a sad commentary on this nation.
They could do that 3 days in an emergency.
There you go.
Then it's gone. Hey, we'll be back. It's an emergency. We're out of time, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.